Hello and welcome, everybody. This is another episode of Vegan Juice, the Vellawood podcast, where we discuss the legal side of sports gambling and the laws and legal influences around sports betting and other similar gaming contests. Today with me, as always, is Blake Hart. Hi, Blake.
Hi, Kevin.
Blake is a senior gaming attorney here at VW. And my partner, Radney Wood. Hey, Radney.
Hey, Cabo. How are you?
Good. Rad is live in the Dallas office today. He wanted to come up and spend some time with us. We decided that this would be a good day to cut this. Today, we're going to be discussing a recent newsletter that we just sent out. So last month, we sent out a comprehensive update on gaming and gambling laws, really as they apply to Texas. We wanted to spend a little bit talking about that today because there has been a lot of updates and there's candidly a lot of updates going on around the country. So let's start there, Blake. Let's start broad and then we'll get into Texas. If you summarize, what are you seeing with respect to gambling laws and fantasy sports laws on a nationwide basis?
On a nationwide basis, I would say that the trend has really become to, rather than bring new fantasy laws to state legislatures, to instead of having their own laws, we're seeing a lot of sports wagering laws that are excluding fantasy sports from the definition of sports betting. And so there's a handful of states that have put out fantasy laws alongside sports wagering laws, but the trend right now really is to just exclude it and rather than focus on regulation of fantasy sports, focus on regulation of sports wagering and have a little carve out for fantasy sports that says this is a skill game. It's not considered sports wagering. And if they choose to regulate that in the future, then maybe they will.
So that makes sense. So post-PASPA, legislators seemed a lot less focused on fantasy sports laws, more focused on sports betting, number of reasons, mainly financial or economic reasons. And so fantasy sports are taking a back seat, which can be good and can be bad. Like, what are some ways that it could be good, could be bad?
I think that ways that it could be good is that it's clarifying that fantasy sports are okay, and they're not considered sports betting in states. And so that's good for fantasy operators. And then without specific legislation, they're also being able to operate in states without having to pay taxes on their operations. And they're not having to pay high licensing fees and renewal fees and worry about all of the hoops that you jump through to get a license. And so I think that that's good. But on the bad side, it's leaving a lot of room to a lot of questions of what is fantasy sports. Games are getting more and more creative, and there's arguments that a lot of games can fit the definition of fantasy sports. But then when you've got a competing sports wagering law, that it could also fit the definition of sports wagering, you know, what are we?
So, Radney, as more and more states are legislating sports betting, but not necessarily addressing fantasy sports, what are the issues stateside and operator side that this creates?
Yeah, that's a great question, Kevin. There's a lot of moving parts here, as Blake has indicated, right? The way, and I think it makes sense to kind of take a step back real quick. For those listening at home, fantasy sports, the very concept of fantasy sports as a legal contest of skill is born out of a 2006 federal law called the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act. There's an acronym that no one knows how to say
UIGA,
properly.
UIGA.
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 Anyway, under UIGA, the federal law that was passed at the time, which was going after online poker games, passed a law that said this is not gambling. And that definition included what has become fantasy, right? And it was built out of fantasy, which was multiple real-world players from multiple real-world teams, accumulation of statistical results, adding all those together, yada, yada. And if you fit all of those factors, then you're not gambling. So with that as the background, you have the rise of DraftKings and FanDuel, and this is way before we have the legalization of gambling as we're seeing it today on a high level. So what's going on today when a state wades into these waters and passes a law that says this is sports betting, this is what it entails, is that doesn't necessarily mean that that definition they came up with might not overlap somewhat with UIGA, right? Now, UIGA is a federal law. So you might say, oh, federal law, just follow that, not the state law. Well, that doesn't work here because gambling traditionally is an area that is reserved for the states. So the states have a lot of leeway to regulate this. So whereas you could be legal under UIGA, if you're illegal under the state law, you're not legal. You cannot operate, right? So for these operators out there, and many of them who, you know, you had this opening of fantasy sports throughout time, and many have created unique games that didn't fit as some would say, the traditional style, when you have these states coming in and regulating gambling in a unique way with their new definitions, some of these games could get swallowed up in that. And so they're over here saying, look, under UEGA, we think that we still fit under UEGA. We're good. We're legal. But if that state has a law that says, yeah, but in our state, we look at it this way, well, now we have some pitfalls there. And so that's what we're really starting to see is states that are jumping into this game in a way, regulating stuff that could be swallowing up some of these more unique games that we have traditionally said, hey, this fits under UEGA, so this is fantasy.
And then further exacerbating that problem is the people who are most likely to weigh in or comment on this may not be educated on the distinctions between the contests or the similarities between the contests. So you get a lot of the legislators who are not necessarily the regulators or the judges, but the legislators are weighing in and they might have some motivation to try and influence a certain way. And then you have regulators who have been mostly coming out of gambling or bingo a lot of these times, or skill gaming, which is something we haven't really talked about much on this podcast, but we could. And so they're looking everything through that lens when the daily fantasy sports and fantasy sports industry is coming to say, that's not what our game is, and this is what it should be like. And so there's just a lot of confusion out there, which nationwide has led to a lot of states just outright banning certain types of contests, right?
And I think it's important, too, to just like touch back on Rad's point about UEGA. When UEGA was passed, DraftKings and FanDuel, they got a lot of pushback and they had to fight to get their game type out there. And they were considered something that was like fringe and on the edge. And now, you know, 20 years?
Yeah, almost 20. Now it's a foregone conclusion, right?
Well, now that's the gold standard.
Right.
You know, that's what fantasy sports is. And we have a lot of state laws being written around what even called daily fantasy sports, where it's not just fantasy sports. Some of them are fantasy sports, some of them are daily fantasy sports. But so now we're kind of in a different wave of that where we've got more creative game types that are getting pushed back, but arguably fit the definition, you know, not only under federal law, but the initial state laws as well. Sure. And then the state regulators are years later coming back and saying, oh, wait, no, that's not what we meant, because now we can have sports wagering where we charge.
Yeah. Significantly higher fees in licensing and taxation, right? So I think the point that Blake makes is really great. So to go back to the beginning and make this a little bit of a history lesson, in 2006, this law is passed. DraftKings and FanDuel did not become wildly popular and come out there until like 2014. Mm-hmm. We're talking like 8 years. Now, there was some nascent versions of them and other games in like maybe 2010, 11, but we're talking about five, six, 7 years before Daily Fantasy came out of it. Because if we go back to UEGA, it was written for just mom and pops and regular people playing fantasy sports.
Season long.
Because technically people, for those listening at home, if you're with your friends and you're wagering on sports between each other and there's no house, you think it's legal. It's not. It's illegal to sports bet. Well, now it could be in some ways, but back in 2006, it was not legal. So we open this thing up, say, hey, all these kind of like private leagues that exist out there, that's legal what they're doing. So people took that and created daily fantasy. And that went on for a while. And then from there, you have these house-based games, right? These creative style games where you don't have player versus player. And these are the ones that we're referring to when we say that a lot of states are pushing back against them. And to Blake's point, it's not a coincidence that those states make a ton more money off of regulating those guys as gambling than they do as fantasy sports. And that might be a basis for some of their decisions here.
And, you know, one thing, just to highlight what you said, Rad, that DFS, the way we think about it with FanDuel and DraftKings, didn't happen until 7 or 8 years after UEGA. UEGA didn't even contemplate non-team-based games. Mm-hmm. Golf, F1, exactly. NASCAR, right? Which are very popular platforms. So this is any legislation trying to create law and then innovation and creativity coming in and breaking it up. But let's hone that in on Texas. So Texas is one of the remaining states that doesn't have sports betting and doesn't have legislated fantasy sports. How many states remain? There's 51 jurisdictions that we deal with, 50 states plus DC. Mm-hmm. How many states remain that don't have sports betting and don't have fantasy regulated
that
or
don't
legislated?
Have both. I'm not sure about the cross. I know that we've looked into this. I'm not sure about the crossover, but I know that there's 12 left that don't have sports wagering. And then with the fantasy regulation, it's kind of hard to put a finger on it because we're not considering states that have an exclusion in their in their sports wagering definition to be like truly regulated.
But let's get clear on that point, because that's a great point. You make that all the time. So what Blake is referring to is some states have not explicitly legislated fantasy sports, but what they have done is they have defined fantasy sports in their sports betting regulations. And by doing that, that gives fantasy sports a framework with which to operate. But the benefit to a fantasy sports operator in a state like that is now you know exactly how they're defining fantasy sports, so they're not going to call you sports gambling. And there's no licensing or registration process or upkeep. I mean, some of these states, the licensing, even for fantasy sports, is ridiculous. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's a couple of them, which is Pennsylvania. One of them has some ridiculous.
It's like 50,000.
50,000.
And the new bill for Florida, I think, was like $250,000.
$250,000 for a fantasy sports operator. It's silly. I mean, you're just pushing out all sorts of small business and innovation
you
like
can get
that.
Sports betting licenses cheaper in some places.
It's ridiculous. So you can see like where the who's pushing for what, right? Where the lobby is. But anyway, so back to Texas. So Texas is one of the few states, and that crossover is an interesting number. We should look at that, and we'll report back on that next time.
Yes.
Because those are like the last wide open landscapes, right? Where you can
semi. Because we've got West Virginia that I don't know that they have sports wagering yet. I don't think that they do. They might.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think what's important to note here, what we're talking about when we say Kevin's asking Blake, like which jurisdictions don't have either. Just because you don't have either doesn't mean you could operate either
Correct.
Of these types of games.
Correct.
Because states have traditional two things they typically have, right? They have anti-gambling statutes, almost all of them. And then based off of that, they have skill gaming laws, which is like the common law of the court system when they were determining what was gambling in the 17 and 18 and early 1900s. They came up with rules to say, if it acts this way, it's gambling. If it doesn't, it's a skill game and you can do it. And so in Texas or other places, it's important to know that if we don't have regulation for gambling, if we don't have regulation for fantasy, this is the law that we have to apply to figure out whether or not the games can be offered or not. Now, I will say that means fantasy can be offered in some of these states and gambling 100% cannot in any of those states that are unregulated because it is gambling and the states have anti-gambling.
Yeah, so let me be clear about that. What I'm saying is the Wild West, I'm referring to fantasy sports operators,
yes.
right? Because if it's regulated, then you might start to define what actually fantasy sports is. And we have these notions of traditional season long. And then we have DFS, which like Blake said, is kind of the gold standard of fantasy now. Mm-hmm. And I think in every jurisdiction that has fantasy sports regulated, DFS is allowed.
Correct.
But then you have these new DFS 2.0, which are either single stat type contests or house-based contests. Those are a little bit more in flux. What I'm referring to is the states that don't have any sort of licensing period, sports betting or fantasy sports, because in those states, there's legal grounds for these operators to exist. Now, just to check, I did check West Virginia. It does have sports betting.
It does. Okay.
But yeah, that's West Virginia. So to the one person listening in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Sorry, we didn't have that one right. Okay, so let's get back to Texas. So Texas doesn't have this legislated. Blakely, just kind of give us some updates. 2023, what did we see happen in Texas?
We saw a strong push for sports betting. We saw a lot of the industry players that 10 years ago were very anti-sports betting kind of jump on it and support it in terms of sports teams and a lot of the big casinos pairing up with local sports teams and pushing for the legislation. We didn't see any fantasy contest legislation presented in the sports wagering legislation. We didn't see any mention of fantasy contests. Texas has been very quiet on fantasy contests for a very long time. For I think it was 2016 that the last letter was, which is great. It's kind of the ideal place for operators to operate right now because we've got a lot of issues in Florida, some issues in California, which are the other most populous states that are technically unregulated right now until Florida is now kind of semi. So Texas has been quiet on fantasy sports and really pushing for sports betting, but sports betting was not able to get pushed through this time. People on both sides of the equation of whether they think it's going to push through next legislative session in 2025, but we're in the South. You know?
So there's only 12 states left mm-hmm. that don't have it. North Carolina was the 39th because of jurisdictions, right? There's 51 U.S. jurisdictions.
And they just added mobile. They had
North Carolina just added mobile,
yeah.
Mobile only.
Well, I think they had in-person for a while.
But I think for people who are playing daily fantasy or DFS 2.0 or house-based, whatever you want to call it, mobile is the most competitive type of offering, right? Mobile sports betting versus a newer.
I think it's going to depend on where you are. You know, if you've got a casino or if they're doing it at a sports bar near you.
That's a good point. So mobile would just mean on an app, but some states like Ohio have the sports bar, right? You can go up and do a kiosk at a sports bar.
Correct.
Okay. And for those of you who are listening who might be trying to get into this business, you're interested, all of those receipts on a state-by-state level are public information. So you can go look them up at the state gaming the regulator's website or somewhere, but you can pull that information. There's aggregators out there. Legal Sports Report is one that we like to refer to that will pull revenue by state, by operator. So you can look at those sorts of things. I wanted to talk about some of the pressures around Texas. So the casino pressures around Texas are because you can go to Oklahoma, you can go to Louisiana, no gambling in New Mexico. But sports betting, what is the rules?
There isn't. Yeah, in New Mexico, there is.
New Mexico, there's sports betting in New Mexico mm-hmm. now. And what about in Oklahoma?
Oklahoma, not yet. I don't know about the tribal casinos.
Okay.
Do you?
Yeah, I don't know. My instinct is that you could go to a casino and place a sports bet probably in Oklahoma.
They don't have
premises
legislated yet for like non-tribal operators, but all they have is, I think, tribal casinos right now.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, the other thing to think through with Texas, and this is, Blake said, this is the South, and she's right. You know, we have Dan Patrick as our lieutenant governor, and he's made it very clear that during the time that he's lieutenant governor, that there will never be sports betting passed. And the other thing to think through is that in Texas, for sports betting to be legalized, it is a constitutional amendment. Now, for those of you not in Texas, we vote on constitutional amendments all the time. I think we have like 400 of them. So it's not the same thing as amending the U.S. Constitution, which is at this point in time, basically impossible. This does happen quite a bit, but it does take more than just your House and Senate voting for it. And so as long as Dan Patrick is there, it's not going to happen. And I know that is to the chagrin of the Dallas Mavericks, it seems like now, and others that are really pushing for that. And Dan Patrick will not be lieutenant governor forever. So I think people are playing the long game. But as long as that's the case, we're not going to have that constitutional amendment anytime soon unless we get a new lieutenant governor.
So just to fact check, Blake was right. Sports betting, it is live in New Mexico. It is not allowed in Oklahoma, and it is live in Louisiana. But you've got those pressures there. And then in Texas, currently all of the major DFS 2.0 operators operate in Texas. It's really become somewhat of a battleground state. I mean, we see ads for them all the time. Underdog, Prize Picks, Sleeper. I believe Prize Picks just announced a big partnership with the Dallas Stars, which if I recall was the first NHL one, right? The first NHL and fantasy sports operator to do a deal together. So you talked, Rad, about the constitutional amendment and Dan Patrick. So Dan Patrick was last reelected in 2022, and it is a four-year term. So he would be up in 2026. So there's probably not going to be any sports betting legislation in 2025, right? Which, as you alluded to, you said the Mavericks are in support. I don't know that the Mavericks are in support. Cuban seems to be in support of it, right?
The new ownership.
The new ownership. Yes, the new ownership group. That's a better way of putting it. So if the Adelson family, I guess we're just assuming because they have historic ownership of casinos that they're in support of it. They also did buy a huge tract of land out near Irving, the old Cowboys, where the old Cowboy Stadium was.
Rumor has that they bought many.
Okay.
Like all over DFW.
So that would make sense. But let's think about that. That means if Patrick's here in 2026, so it's 2027 at the earliest, right? Before sports betting could get approved.
I'm wondering, though, too, if there was a lot out there after he wouldn't take this to the Senate floor, and if enough senators could speak out between now and then and say, hey, like, it's not that dead in the Senate.
Yeah, I think there's probably a pretty good chance that special interests will change Dan Patrick's mind.
No, I disagree. You know, I've followed Texas politics for a long time. I think it's highly unlikely that Dan Patrick will change on this topic. Now, to Blake's point, he might not change, but he might allow it to come. Maybe, kind of, maybe, but if I had a bet here, you know, we are talking about betting. If we have to make a bet here, I'm going to bet that it's not coming in 2025.
I wouldn't because it's illegal in Texas, so I'm not going to take that bet.
No, there's the social.
Don't try and bait me.
We're in a private place.
This private place exemption.
Yeah.
All right, Rad. So if you're convinced and you make a good argument that we're not going to really entertain sports betting until at least 2027, that assumes Dan Patrick isn't reelected. And other than him opting out, I don't see any reason to believe that he wouldn't be reelected. So we might not have sports betting in some time. What does that mean for fantasy sports, Blake?
I think that at best, you know, we're right now in a position where the legislators and AG are focused on sports wagering. But at worst, you know, with this domino effect we're seeing around the U.S. with regulators in states even that are not regulated, if Texas decides to make a push against games that it wants to say are sports wagering rather than fantasy, then other states have done it, and so that could happen. But I think that we're in a better place without having sports wagering laws to be able to say, no, you fit this definition. Like, who's to say what is sports wagering here and what's not if we don't have a definition that could encompass a game type? You know, that being said, I feel like that's kind of been part of the push, too. I don't think states have necessarily been incentivized by it, but I think that maybe it's something to think about, is that if you have that legislation regulating sports wagering, then you've got somewhere to look to say, this is what this is. Because otherwise, who's to say that it's not a game of skill? And games of skill are the only two states that have addressed whether fantasy sports are games of skill, have said that they are, and that they are not gambling because they are games of skill. And so I think that we're in a good position.
Now, those states that address that, they address which types of contests?
They were traditional DFS contests.
Okay.
But that being said, I mean, the holdings in the cases didn't say that they had to be, you know, traditional DFS. And even New Jersey is the only state where I've seen explicitly, like, you compete against multiple participants or you compete against a target score. That being said, the regulators there to hit that target score game type, it's very difficult, but I mean, it's doable. And so you can have single participant games expressly in New Jersey. So I don't think that it even matters that much what type of game it is, as long as it's a game of skill. If you can prove it's a game of skill under the state test, then you don't have a different law that's a sports wagering law, then it's going to be harder for them to say that you're sports wagering if we don't have that here, you know?
So, Rad, let's just assume that Ken Paxton, once he's done dealing with all his legal issues and he has some time on his hands, he says, you know what? I'm going to go after these operators. I don't think these are games of skill. What does that process look like?
So, and Texas is interesting, right? And that's one of the reasons why we're in this unique spot that we're in, is that the Texas Attorney General has no criminal authority, right? He cannot prosecute crimes. In the state of Texas, that authority is given to district attorneys around the state. So those people just have the power in a singular county. We have 254 counties, right? Something like that. So unlike states in New York or Illinois, where those attorney generals could, in theory, bring criminal charges and do in certain instances and threaten it, we don't have that. And so in that 2016 opinion he wrote, he even alluded to the fact that this is not an issue for the attorney general's office. Now, let's say he does an about face. I guess there could be some sort of claim brought that's in a civil matter, or maybe disgorgement or something like that. He could maybe go after some of these folks and say, I think you're in violation of our statutes.
Some consumer protection statute or something.
Exactly. And go after that and maybe try to disgorge something. So I think that might be what it is, but he doesn't have that criminal authority. So it's interesting because the law that governs here, 4703, is a criminal law, right? And so it's interesting, you don't usually have private causes of act, or I shouldn't say private, you don't typically have civil causes of action related to a criminal statute. There are certain instances where you, in theory, could, but it's harder, right? He has a harder road to hoe there. So in that way, Texas has this really interesting spot that Blake's alluding to, where we don't have sports gambling law that regulates in a way that defines it. We have a skill game exemption that says bona fide games of skill are allowed. We have this criminal statute that says gambling generally is not allowed, but doesn't define it deeply in a way that we can go into detail. And so we're in the state where providers, fantasy sports providers, my take is, are going to continue to provide it. DFS 1, DFS 2, everyone's going to continue to be here. And Texas doesn't have the political will to go against it. I mean, we have to remember, we're in a state where all these poker rooms are popping up and a lot of them are charging a VIG.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had people come to us and we say, you can't do it that way. That's illegal. But these people are operating all throughout the state. So it's an interesting thing. If you don't have the political will to back up the law, even when we go, hey, that's not legit. And then we look at these games and we see how much skill is involved in them. And we see the statistical analysis that these people are doing for them. And we're like, this is a game of skill compared to so many other things. I mean, I think they have a very strong argument why they should remain.
Yeah, I want to highlight that point. We have had clients in other states use statistics or use studies that demonstrate that DFS, DFS 2.0, season long, are absolute games of skill. And then they'll use that in discussions with regulators or for their licenses and whatnot. So I don't think there's any element there, any question there. But yes, Rad, I agree with both you guys. Texas has this unique confluence of circumstances, right? The legislature only meets every couple of years. The lieutenant governor has to approve any bill that gets brought up before the Senate. The special interests here are very, very strong for a number of reasons. I mean, some of the people leading the sports betting coalition in Texas are some of the biggest business owners, some of the biggest advocates for the state, period. I mean, think about the revenues that the Jerry Jones, the Tillman Fertittas, the Mark Cubans of the world kick off and kick out in this state, right? And they bring a lot of business to the state, and then they're the ones advocating for these things. So you can see why some of those in power might just be slinging rhetoric around without actually taking action because they want to keep this business and keep these business owners happy. So I do believe that Texas is ripe still for fantasy for some time. And like Blake mentioned, I think sports betting will be the first thing to be legislated. It makes too much sense. If a legislature is going to invest the time and energy to understand it, to propose a bill, to go through the lobby efforts, to get someone to vote on it, it might as well just be sports betting, right?
Now, do we know if Dan Patrick ever had a position on fantasy sports?
I don't believe that he has, not publicly, right? Not one that's come across.
So do you guys think that we'll see fantasy sports bills next year?
I don't think so.
Again, no?
I think if we do, that'll be an indication that sports betting is far away. I think if we don't, that'll be an indication that sports betting is close.
Yeah.
That's the way I'm looking at it. All right, guys. Well, really, really interesting stuff. Really appreciate you guys helping out. Appreciate everyone out there listening in. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Vig and Juice. If you haven't already, would encourage you to go back and listen to the previous episodes that we published. We'll also include a link to subscribe to Blake's quarterly Texas gaming update. This thing was comprehensive. It was several pages long. It was filled with national and local Texas news. So if you're interested in this space, we highly recommend that you sign up for it. And at this point in time, that's it for now. Any final words, guys?
Nope, this is great.
Okay, thanks. We'll see you next time.
The Veilawood podcasts are recorded with the help of Radio MD, based in Chicago, Illinois. You can find all of our podcasts on our website at veilawoodlaw.com/podcasts. For questions, comments, or suggestions, email us at podcasts@veilawoodlaw.com.